So I'm Jeff Woolsey. I'm a principal program manager in the Cloud and Enterprise division. I've had the pleasure of working on hypervisors and virtualization now for over 15 years. I was actually at a small startup at Microsoft long before anybody was doing virtualization, and it's been a pleasure to watch this technology grow and blossom into a technology that is now something fundamental to how we do business every day. Before we get started, to kind of transition from what we just saw with Satya and his discussion about the cloud, just a quick video. Here we go.
Every day, your business needs more from IT. More capacity, more applications, more everything. To deliver what your company needs, you need a new approach. With the cloud, your data center is an orchestra. You are the conductor. To your left, compute. Reduce downtime with resilient enterprise-grade virtualization. To your right, networking. Harness the flexibility of a complete software-defined networking stack. In front of you, storage. Deliver capacity and performance at the lowest cost with cloud-designed storage. And keeping everything running is the consistent rhythm of management for efficient operations and service delivery. Bring the cloud to your data center with Windows Server and System Center, and take it even further with Microsoft Azure. With Microsoft, everything comes together, all working as one, under your command. This is the power of the cloud.
Thank you. I have to say, as a musician myself, I appreciate that so much. When one section of the orchestra is not playing, when you're not together, it rears its ugly head. That type of teamwork, that type of working closely together to provide a wonderful musical output. IT is very much the same way. Are you working in harmony together? Are you trying to get the best out of everyone? Are you driving the best efficiency? When we think about the cloud and what Satya was talking about, you know, I heard one of the questions at the very end, which was, hey, why do you guys pushing us to cloud? And it really, as Satya mentioned, it's not something dogmatic at all. What we're trying to do is to make sure we're giving you exactly what you're looking for. And it's really about providing the cloud on your terms. You know, when we talk about cloud, it's always three. It's private public service providers. Okay, we're always very clear about that. There are plenty of customers. I get this question still to this day. I get this question asked all the time. Jeff, in 10 years, where are we going to be? Is it all public? Is it all private? And my answer is always yes. Okay, to me, it's a slider. There will be some things that run in public. There will be some things in private. But for the most everybody, it will be hybrid. And that's exactly what we're focusing on, is making sure that it's about giving you those end-to-end hybrid scenarios. It is about transforming the data center. It is about doing more with less. It is about being more efficient. It is about driving up automation. It's about being able to get those efficiencies of scale. Unlocking insights on any data. If you look at how much data is being delivered every day within your organization, worldwide, how can you do something meaningful with that? How can we take the learnings from our public cloud and actually give them to you so that you can run your clouds, your on-premises environments that you control end-to-end? How can we give you the ability to run those even better, to run those even more operationally efficient, to give you better insight? It's about empowering enterprise mobility as well. It's about making sure that, you know what, I can access my apps, my data, anywhere on any device. And it's clear that that is something that has resonated. If you look at what's happened, look at what we've delivered in terms of Office 365, Office apps on Android and iOS. These have rocketed to the top of the stores. Everybody is so excited and so thrilled, and we are going to continue to drive that. But it is about having a consistent platform, whether it's something you run yourself on your own premises, whether it's something you do in the public cloud with Azure or with a service provider. So we do think about enterprise scale, we do think about consistency, and of course, it is hybrid. And this is also really important because there are other people that will tell you, no, no, the cloud is only when you run it on their data center. We reject that notion. There are some that will say, no, the cloud is only when you run it in your data center. We reject that notion as well. Cloud is giving you the ability to run your data center, your operations, your cloud, whenever and wherever it makes business sense. You may say, you know what, Jeff, I have some specific assets in my company that I am going to run in my data center, in a German data center on German soil by German citizens. Are you going to try and push me up to Azure? And my answer is absolutely not. If you want to do that, what I want to do is make sure you have the best ability to do it yourself. At the same time, you can't ignore what's happening and what we're doing in the public cloud. If you look at the last 18 months, this is just a quick laundry list of some of the features that we've delivered in Azure. Just a few, okay? And this isn't in any way, shape, or form complete. This is just the last 18 months. So as Satya mentioned, if you're using our cloud technologies that are public, guess what? You've just been getting new features and new services and new value. It just lights up. Pretty awesome. If you look at Azure, the platform, if you look at the scale is truly beyond compare. Just a few numbers that jump out to me. Azure Active Directory is a service we launched just over a year ago. We deliver over 14 billion Azure Active Directory authentications a week. Not a month, not a year, a week. It shows us just how much enterprises are embracing hybrid. Because what they want to do is, they want to give you that federated identity. They want to be able to give you security, identity, authentication in our public cloud as well as on-premises and be able to dole out those resources. Over 300 million Active Directory users, over a million registered developers with Visual Studio Online. We just made that available fairly recently, and developers went flocking up there because we made it readily available and easy to use. Over 57% of the Fortune 500 are using Azure. So every so often, someone will say to me, well, are my customers up there? If your customer is a Fortune 500, or if you're a Fortune 500, yeah, they're going up there in droves because it's enterprise class, it's hybrid, and it's delivering massive global scale. If you looked at the Sochi Olympics at all this last year, the Sochi Olympics were powered entirely, guess what, by Azure. If you watch the Olympics on your phone, on your TV, on your PC, on your tablet, on the web, on any device around the world, that was all happening on Azure. We delivered to hundreds of millions of customers worldwide on Azure. Just works. Well, guess what? That innovation that we're doing in the public cloud goes to you. Because every so often I'll run into someone and says, you know what, Jeff? We're still kicking the tires on Azure. We love what we see in Office 365, but we really do like running stuff on premises. So what is having a public cloud? How does that help me? Oh my goodness, it's a tremendous benefit to you. Because we are running and developing software now in Azure, in our public cloud, that innovation we drive directly into Windows Server, into what you get. And what is Azure? Azure is Windows Server. The same bits that are running Windows Server 2012 R2, guess what? That's running Azure. So as we deliver more capabilities and functionality into Windows Server, it goes up into Azure. As we deliver new capabilities in Azure, guess what? Those go into Windows Server. Satya, when he was the vice president of the Cloud and Enterprise Division, he called this a virtuous engineering cycle. He was way ahead of everybody else when he saw this. And that's the kind of guy he is, by the way. He is truly a brilliant and wonderful guy, and I'm so glad he was able to be here this morning. But he saw this early on. He said, you know what? This is a virtuous engineering cycle. Because we're able to deliver in the public and in the private, it means our customers benefit the most. Every time we deliver new features in the public, guess what? Those are going in the private. When we're delivering in the private, it's going in the public, and everybody's getting the advantages. We're turning that crank faster than ever. So on your in your data center, when you run your private clouds, we have things like the Azure Pack, where we've literally taken Azure code and given it to you and said, folks, now you can run your own Azure consistent clouds, manage them. They're your hardware, that's your software, it's in your data center, but you get to run IT as a service. You get to dole out resources, you get to meet those service level agreements, you get to offer services, applications, you get to manage that all there. From an infrastructure standpoint, Windows Server, System Center, guess what? That is consistent with what we're doing in Azure because we're offering services up there. Our infrastructure, by the way, Azure, one of the largest clouds on Earth, that's Hyper-V. It's been Hyper-V for many, many, many years. That's all running on Hyper-V. And guess what? As we deliver more features and capabilities, you're getting it in the platform as well. We just released, just announced, the Microsoft Cloud Platform System. And one of the things I'm very excited about, this is something we've been working on very quietly for a while, and someone, you know, the cloud platform system, if I was to describe this and define this, imagine you took not only just hardware, because you can go spec out hardware, but not only hardware, but you took our software-defined compute stack, our software-defined storage stack, our software-defined networking stack. We then gave you Azure consistency. We then gave you runbook automation. We then give you prescriptive best practices. We then build in all of our best practices. We then build in a complete hardware solution that is completely resilient, reliable, fault tolerant. And we say, this we can deliver to your doorstep. And if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you need support, you call Microsoft. That is the Microsoft Cloud Platform System. This is giving you an Azure consistent cloud in a box. Up to 8,000 VMs, almost a petabyte of usable workable storage, 15 to 50% lower cost per VM versus the other solutions out there. Very excited about this, but most importantly, it's about understanding, this is about allowing you to get work done faster. Let's be honest for just a moment. Building a cloud is really hard. Everybody gets up here and talks about how great cloud is, and yes, it is, but it's actually really hard. Okay, you can spec out all this hardware and you can spend the next many, many months trying to get it all tested out, to run at scale, to architect it, to build it. What we want to do is we want to take that all out of the equation. We deliver you a finished solution that's ready to deploy Exchange, that's ready to deploy SharePoint, that's ready to deploy SQL, that's ready to deploy Link. It has templates built in, has Azure Pack built in, it has Azure consistency built in, it's ready to go. That's what the Cloud Platform System is all about. All right, so let's get into next. One of the first questions, by the way, I always get asked about Azure is this. Hey, Jeff, what SANs does Azure employ? I'm curious to know. I mean, you guys are offering, you know, pretty much free storage now. I mean, we're giving away unlimited storage now with Office 365. What SAN do you use? We don't. We use software-defined storage. We've been using software-defined storage for ages. Okay? We can't deliver unlimited storage with SANs. Doesn't meet our perf, doesn't meet our scale, and it certainly doesn't meet our requirements to give you ridiculous, crazy, reliable storage for next to no cost. How do we do that? Well, this is an example of where we took our learnings from Azure and built it into Windows Server. In 2012 R2, we've delivered storage spaces where we aggregate high volume, low cost storage. We don't use any gold-plated storage here. This is off-the-shelf, mainstream volume hardware. We then aggregate it, we then tier it with storage spaces with our scale-out file server that we can give you a scale-out storage solution. Well, I get asked all the time, Jeff, what does this look like from a cloud deployment standpoint? Well, let me show you. From a cloud deployment standpoint, you've got your compute. So you've got your Hyper-V servers. So let's say I set up a 5-node cluster. All right? It talks via Ethernet, communicates via Ethernet, via SMB3, server message block 3, to our scale-out file server. In this case, I set up a single 2-node file server. These are just standard servers. And I chose the R720 because it's a great example, but this is a standard server. And it's then communicating to some MD1220s using block storage. This is JBOD. This is SAS, Serial Attached SCSI. Okay, this is all standard parts here. What's great about this architecture is if I need to scale out my compute, guess what? I need more VMs. Guess what? I just plug in a couple more nodes. So instead of a 5-node cluster, now I've got a 9-node cluster. So I can scale that out. Well, now I've added more VMs. Well, you know what, Jeff? You know what? Now this is great, but now I need some more storage because now I have more VMs. Guess what? Plug in a couple more JBODs. By the way, this is all hot. You can add more servers, you can add more storage, no downtime here. So I've just added some more storage. Guess what? I can now scale my storage tier independently. Guess what? This is what most of you are looking for. Because guess what? Most of the time, you're not going to uniformly scale compute and storage. It's going to be one or the other at different times. Guess what? If I need more compute, I go back and I add more, all the way up to 64 nodes. And if I need more storage, I keep plugging those in. So this is how we've been, this is a way to deliver the scale-out file server today with what we've been doing in 2012 and 2012 R2. Well, where are we going next? Well, what's new for storage in the technical preview right now is we've got a whole bunch of awesome new capabilities building on what we've been delivering. Let's start with your input. What have you told us about storage? Well, number one, you said, you know what? I need to be able to guarantee quality of service to meet an SLA. One of the biggest challenges today is if you're using storage, it has a finite amount of resources. I have a finite amount of IOPS. I've got some storage here. It gives me 10,000 IOPS. That's all fine and dandy until one VM comes along that tries to grab all 10,000 of those IOPS, and now your other VMs are starved. So give me a solution to that. Another thing you told us, I want to upgrade infrastructure faster with no downtime. And one of the big reasons was we released 2012, and then we came out with 2012 R2 literally a year later, and people said, oh my gosh, look at all these new features. But you know what? I just deployed 2012. How do I get onto this faster cadence? And we've already told you now that with Windows Server Next, we're going to keep up this fast cadence. So the good news is you're going to get a whole bunch more features. You're taking advantage of all that work we're doing in cloud deployment and cloud knowledge, giving you faster releases, which means now we need to be able to give you faster infrastructure upgrades without any downtime or without impacting your guests and workloads. Hyper-V Replica is awesome. Take it to the next level. With Replica, Hyper-V Replica, we literally turned the disaster recovery market on its side. Now people are deploying this everywhere. I love this. Because honestly, this is about making your lives better, and it's about protecting your data. So now we've had people say, this is great. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we could do some sort of replication? Because I still have some physical workloads in the corner over there. And it'd be nice if it was synchronous replication, too. And then finally, keep helping reduce the cost of storage. So those are some of the bits of input you've given us. So what are we doing? Well, the first one, something I am super excited about, storage quality of service. This is the real deal. In 2012 R2, we introduced a subset of this, a very small portion of the puzzle. We could do some storage caps, but it was per server. Now we're talking about the real deal. Storage quality of service, and now this gives it to me cluster-wide. So it's enabled by default for the scale-out file server. It gives me metrics, normalized IOPS and latency. Very granular policy. Per VM, per VHD, per service, per tenant. I can now have one storage that has 10,000 IOPS, and I can go to every one of those VMs and say, you get 500, you get 500, you get 10,000, because you get 5,000 because you're paying the platinum. And I can make sure that they all get their SLA. And I set that policy up. And you get full control of that. So as you're developing services, as you're running your cloud infrastructure, we're giving you more and more of those resources and those policies to deliver to that service level agreement. All integrated with System Center, VMM, and Ops Manager, and there's also, of course, PowerShell interface in there as well. This is really, really awesome. We've got the real deal storage quality of service part and parcel built into what we're doing in Windows Server Next. I'm going to keep moving on here because honestly, I could spend the next 2 days talking about Windows Server Next and we still wouldn't scratch the surface. I'm going to keep going. Rolling upgrades. Woo, this is huge. People deploy Windows Server today and then they want to deploy Next and all of a sudden you need a new cluster and you need N times 2 hardware. Well, what if you could actually have a cluster in place and upgrade each node one at a time and do it without requiring any new hardware? That's exactly what we're delivering here now. We can do rolling upgrades from Server 2012 R2 to vNext with rolling upgrades. And this basically allows you to have a single 2012 R2 cluster, take a node out, upgrade it, move your VMs over, and walk through every node in the cluster, and all of a sudden now you can bump it up to Windows Server vNext. Your workloads running on top never see anything. They continue to run, no downtime. Underneath at the infrastructure level, I just gave you scale, I just gave you storage quality of service. And you can take advantage of all the new features that we're delivering in the hypervisor below. You get all of those. The VMs and the workloads running on top never see anything. That is the beauty of cloud. This is what we do in Azure. Guess what? Those same policies, those same principles and tenets applying to on-premises as well. Moving right along. Storage replica. So I talked about Hyper-V replica briefly. Hyper-V replica, like I said, changed disaster recovery. Now everybody has the ability to replicate VMs. Well, now we're delivering storage replication in the box. And what's different is we're talking synchronous replication for the first time in the box. So think about the scenarios. Number one, I could have literally two servers, no SANs, no shared storage. I could literally have two laptops, okay? And guess what? Without any shared storage, set up synchronous replication between the two. If I have two clusters in two different locations, like New Jersey and New York, I can actually have stretched clusters now, all using storage replica in the box. It works with any Windows volume. It uses SMB3 as transport. Really important point, it's hardware agnostic. If you've got a SAN, you love your SAN, you like to hug your SAN at night, you want to keep using your SAN, great, works with your SAN. If you don't have a SAN, if you've got some branch offices, if you're not ready to buy a SAN, if you're not ready to mortgage your house to buy one, guess what? You can use standard servers, off-the-shelf disks inside your machine, and I'm giving you synchronous replication. So it works with any hardware you have. Works with anything you have, anything you're going to buy. It's going to future-proof you. So, and it's block-level synchronous. Like I said, this is synchronous. This is the real deal. So, what does this look like? Let me switch on over here. All right. Here I've got a system running Windows Server Next, and I'm actually looking at the failover cluster manager. And you can see here I've got a 4-node cluster, 2 nodes in New York, 2 nodes in New Jersey. And what I really want to be able to do is I want to ensure that if for whatever reason I can't access New York, that I have a stretched cluster that automatically my users who are trying to access their data will automatically be moved, will automatically be migrated to New Jersey where they can still access the data. There's no loss of data, there's no loss of connectivity, and it's completely transparent. Again, this is a 4-node cluster, 2 nodes in New York, 2 nodes in New Jersey. The first thing I want to point out is, by the way, that I'm using a brand new technology. Again, we talked about the server as the edge of the cloud. Well, here's an example of where we're taking the cloud and actually integrating it in Windows Server. We're using a feature here called Cloud Witness. In the past, if you want to do stretch clusters, you have two nodes, you have two sites, you've got to have something, you have to have a mediator in the middle to be able to say, no, this site is really down, I really can't access it, you need to move it over here. Okay? That meant extra hardware, extra infrastructure, extra cost, and extra management. You can still do that, or you can use the Azure Cloud Witness, where Azure becomes the witness for you. And it says, hey, you know what? I can't access this. Let's go ahead and move it on over to the other site. So we're using Azure as the Cloud Witness in this example. Now, what I have right now is I have a file server running. My file server running, my Concoso file server, this is where my users are accessing the data. I want to make sure that if for any reason I can no longer access the data from New York, it just transparently, without any user intervention, automatically reroutes the data, automatically reroutes to New Jersey. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here to disks, and you can see I've got the file share data, and I'm going to go and I'm going to enable replication. Folks, look how easy this is. Synchronous storage replication has never been this easy. Watch closely. I'm going to click on replication. I'm going to click on enable. Next. All right. So I already know what I'm going to replicate, so now I have to select my source log disk. Now I need to select my destination storage volume, which I've already created right here. I'm going to select my destination log disk. Now, if I have a ton of data, say we're talking about many terabytes, I could replicate the whole thing over the network, or I could take those disks, FedEx them, or actually drive them on over and copy the data so that I seed the data at my replication site. So instead of actually replicating the first many terabytes, we make it easy and you can seed it in your destination. In this case, I haven't seeded it, so this is not a seeded disk. Folks, I click next, and I'm done. And in just like that, I've configured synchronous storage replication. Again, all of this in the box works with any storage you've got, storage agnostic, and is simply part and parcel of Windows Server Next. And just like that, it's configured. It's set up. I'm done. I click finish. I'm ready to rock and roll. That's it. That is how you set up synchronous replication. This works with your networks. Again, works with any storage you have today, and it's that easy and ready to go. All right, we'll show some more in just a moment. All right, so that's been on storage replica. So, by the way, again, I mentioned there's a truckload of features and capabilities. I'm not going to have time to show them all. I'm kind of doing a quick flyby. Those are some of the things that are in the technical preview now. By the way, there's still more coming. So what's next in storage beyond the server technical preview? Well, this is one of my favorite new ones. So I talked about what our shared storage looks like, our scale-out file server looks like today. Two nodes attached to SAS to JBOD. One of the things our customers have said is, you know what, that works, and it's cool, but can you make it even easier? And in fact, is it possible that we could have spaces that share nothing? That's crazy talk, you say, right? Nope. Storage spaces share nothing. Scale-out distributed spaces is here. Now what we're talking about is you take your server. It's got some disks in it. Plug it into the network. You need some more storage? Get a server, plug some disks, plug it into the network. You need some more? Get another server, put some disks in it, plug into the network. There's no shared SAS at all. Okay, we're talking about, again, using mainstream, high volume. This is SATA. This isn't SAS. There's no shared SAS. There's no configuring that at all. This is actually, you plug in a server and say, guess what? I want this to be shared as part of our scale-out file server. What this means is you have fault tolerant to disk, enclosure, and node failures. You can scale pools to a much larger number of drives. You have fine-grained storage expansion. Wow. I told you we weren't kidding about storage. We know a lot about storage. We have learned so much running Azure. We're going to continue to push down the prices and make it easier than ever to deploy out fault-tolerant, scale out storage. And that's exactly what we're doing here. This is great for Hyper-V IaaS, it's great for storage and backup and replication, but the key thing to point out here is it's literally a server and you plug it in the network. You can see it's just an Ethernet connection now that's giving you shared spaces. So that's just a few of the things that we're delivering here in storage. It is about helping enterprises and customers reduce costs, increase efficiency, protecting key data and workloads, and the ability to easily grow storage capacity. We've been doing this for the last couple releases, and everything that we've been doing in the last 2012 and 2012 R2, we're building on and making even better in Windows Server Next. And again, these are just a few of the things that we're delivering. Software-defined virtualized storage, storage quads, deduplication, tiering, synchronous replication, and so much more. There's a session here today on software-defined storage that goes into this even further. Highly recommend it if you're interested in knowing more about software-defined storage. All right, let's get to networking. I'm trying to keep an eye on my time here. So when it comes to networking, a very common question I get asked is, hey, Jeff, software-defined networking is a really hot topic. Everybody keeps telling me how super great it is, and once I deploy software-defined networking, my car will run better, I'll get better gas mileage, my children will be happier, my wife will be happier, birds and flowers will just look that much better every day because software-defined networking is the greatest thing ever. Can you tell me why? Because everybody telling me it's great, but no one can actually answer the most fundamental question, which is why do I care? I have networks, my business runs today, what is it actually giving me? Honestly, that's a great question. We've done a really terrible job in the industry explaining software-defined networking. So let me put it in very easy terms, and it actually explains this very clearly and crisply. If you look at how we think about the cloud, we think about the cloud as public, private, and service providers. And again, our goal is really simple. We want you to run your workloads wherever and whenever it makes business sense. It may be in one of those spots, or it may be in two of those, or three of those, but it's up to you. Well, here's the important thing to know. Say today, I'm running a whole bunch of workloads in my private cloud. And you know what, I decide, you know what, I'd like to maybe move some of those to the public cloud. I'd like to move some of those to Azure. How do I do that? Do I think that an application, the workloads that I have today that I've run and built on-premises, I can just magically pick up and drop in Azure and they're just going to work? Really? Because over here in my private cloud, it's a 10-dot-something, and over here in the public, it's a 192-dot-something, and those networks look nothing alike, and you just expect that you can pick them up and move them? See, to be able to do that, that mobility, that agility to be able to extend your networks, and to provide seamless connectivity so this looks like one big pipe, you need network virtualization to do that. It's to decouple the networks and the networks within those services from the physical layer. We've been doing this with virtual machines, but network virtualization is allowing us to do this with the network itself so that I can move it to the public, or if I need to bring it back, I can. If I want to move it to a service provider, or if I want to bring it back, if I can. If I want to move it between a service provider and a public cloud, I can. The most important thing is you are in control. This is a really big deal because it allows you to go where it makes sense. That's what it's all about. And I get this question all the time. Jeff, I want to use Microsoft's SDN. What do I need? So I talked to the other guys, I have to buy a whole bunch of things. I need a V this and a V that and a sort of V this. And no, it's actually all built right in. A lot of people don't realize this. It's actually been built in for two releases. 2012 R2, it's already there. And guess what we're doing in Next? We're doing even more. By the way, Network Virtualization, a great book. It's a free book. I highly recommend it because it goes into network virtualization in extreme detail. It's a free book, and there's the link right there, and you guys will get the slides. So what are we doing in vNext for software-defined networking? We're doing a lot. So just a few things. It is about flexibility. It's about saying, hey, not only can I run my own software-defined networking in my cloud better and more efficiently, But as I connect with others and do other hybrid scenarios, it gives me the agility to be able to do that and to be able to take advantage of those services and make it look like one big data center. Think about it. Imagine if this room was your data center and it was full of servers. And one day, you simply don't have any more power, you don't have any space, you don't have any more room. That never happens, right? And you still need more. Wouldn't it be great if you could just like virtually knock down a wall and behind it you just had, you know, next to unlimited storage, compute, and memory available? All you needed to do is hook up your network? That's exactly what we don't want you to do. Treat the public cloud as an extension of your data center. You keep control, you manage it, but it's on your terms. So, just a few of the things I want to point out here. Let's look at this bottom one in the first column. One of the things we've heard from folks is they say, look, I've got VMware and Hyper-V. I'm not going to mix words about it. Honestly, I run into almost nobody now that has just VMware. It seems to be everybody's doing the co-mingling thing. Lots of VMware, lots of Hyper-V together. And what I'm hearing now is people saying, look, VMware uses this VXLAN thing for network virtualization. Hyper-V uses this NVGRE thing for virtualization. And I don't want to have to pick and choose. You know what? We agree with you. We don't want to make this a protocol battle at all. That's not what this is about. We want to make it easy for you to deploy your cloud. So guess what? We're going to support them both. We support NVGRE today, and guess what? We're now adding support for VXLAN. Use whatever you want. It's there. They're both there. We're just going to make it work. Network controller. Now we're talking about some of the best features here that are a perfect byproduct of what we've been doing up in Azure. Azure is software-defined networking, period. We've said this many times before. We can make over 50,000 network changes a day in Azure. You don't seriously think a human makes any of those changes, right? Any one of those could have catastrophic effects. What you do is you define policy, and you let the fabric figure it out, okay? Well, we have our own software load balancers. We've got network controllers. Guess what? We're now taking those technologies, and we're giving them to you. We are putting them in Windows Server. You see now, there is a network controller based on Azure going in the box. Standardized northbound and southbound APIs, centralized monitoring and diagnostics, things that we have learned because we run at such a crazy scale. We know what it takes to run millions of VMs and workloads. Tens of millions of VMs and workloads. So guess what? We're packaging up. We're simply putting it into Windows Server next. Software-based load balancer, based on the one that we developed and built for Azure. Distributed firewall, service chaining, cloud scale network traffic management. Oh my goodness. This is literally a many hour talk in and of itself. So again, I'm scratching the surface, but what I want to point out to you again is look at all of the benefits that you're getting. Because of the fact that we have a public cloud, we can simply deliver this in the box. Compute. Let's talk about some of your input on compute. Jeff, I really would like to be able to scale up VMs without downtime. Okay? I'm running my IT like a service, and I need to be able to do things like scale those up. I use checkpoints today. They're great for dev test. I run into a lot of people that are running Hyper-V, and they're using it on their laptops or their tablets or their PCs or workstations, whatever. They love checkpoints because it allows them to quickly go from one spot to another very quickly and easily. But they're for dev test. And I do get this question, Jeff, these are great. I'd love to be able to use these in production. I'm not sure what that means. You guys are the smart guys over there at Microsoft. You figure this out. But I'd really like to be able to use these in production. Hey, Jeff, I author VMs on my Surface Pro 3, and it doesn't seem like Hyper-V and the Surface Pro 3 play 100% nicely together. Hyper-V doesn't understand connected standby. And for VDI, there's a lot of talk about VDI these days and trying to be able to support power users, okay? Not just the folks that are running, you know, business productivity applications, but folks that say, look, I want to do Photoshop, I want to do AutoCAD, I want to do things that require, wow, OpenGL4.x or OpenCL1.x. We need this for our power users. So let's start with what we're doing. We heard you loud and clear. So we've had dynamic memory now for many releases. And we're very careful about how we think about memory, because we want to make sure we're always doing it in a safe and secure way. I'm proud to say that every feature we always release has gone through a very, very careful threat model to make sure that everything is secure out of the box by default. So memory's always been one of the things we've been very careful about. Dynamic memory is great, but now we're doing even more. For the Windows Server Technical Preview, you can now increase, hot add, and decrease, hot remove, the memory running inside a virtual machine while they are running. This is the first time you've ever, on any hypervisor, been able to do hot remove. No hypervisor supports this, only Hyper-V. But there's plenty more. Hot add and remove next now. So you can now hot add and remove these from Gen 2 VMs. You simply go to the settings, you say, hey, I need a NIC, click on add, boom, inside the guest it appears, all done. No restarts, no reboots, no nothing, it just happens, the NIC's there. Checkpoints. We've had checkpoints for quite a while. Now we want to take them to the next level. It's not just test dev. What if you could actually use those in production? Well, the key thing about making these work in production is that you want these to be application consistent. Okay? The last thing you want, for example, some developer working on SQL and saying, okay, this is done, takes a checkpoint, deploys it into production, and when he turns it on, it's crash consistent. So who knows what state the actual application is? Is the app properly flushing everything to disk? Oh, no, you're never going to do that in production. But what if we could take this and make it production ready by using VSS? So now when you do the checkpoint, we actually call down into the guest, we will use VSS to properly flush and quiesce everything to disk so it is application consistent. So now we have a suitable production ready checkpoint. And by default now, this is on. And restoring a checkpoint is just like it has been in the past using a system backup. Really, really awesome. If you're a developer and don't care about VSS, or you just prefer to not have VSS, it's a toggleable checkbox. But now it defaults to on because that's the safest thing to do. Very excited about this capability. We've also done things around power management. Yes, Surface Pro 3. Yes, connected standby works. Okay, this is just a case where we need to get in better sync with our friends over in hardware, and trust me, they keep secrets over there too. They're very good at that. So we made sure that connected standby now works. So Surface Pro 3, Hyper-V, they rock. And trust me, the Hyper-V team, we got lots of Surface Pro 3s over there. Remote FX. Remote FX is a technology we delivered way back in 2008 R2, SP1, and it's something we've been quietly working on release after release after release. We've added more capabilities, we've improved the performance, we've improved the scalability, but now we're doing some really big things in terms of opening this up further with support for OpenGL 4.4 and OpenCL 1.1 API. Simply put, you want to run AutoCAD? We're ready to rock and roll, okay? And a lot more. This opens up a whole new class of applications for those power users that want to be able to do it. And RemoteFX, simply built in, simply part of the platform, simply part of Hyper-V. We also allow you to do lots more dedicated VRAM, configurable VRAM. In the past, this was hardwired. Now you can actually configure this as well through RemoteFX. So for compute, a number of things to point out. It's about delivering best-in-class scale, performance, and resilience for enterprise-class workloads. We've been doing this for many, many releases now. Since 2012, quite honestly, we have led the industry. There is no better performing hypervisor out there than Hyper-V, period, bar none, done. With 2012 R2, we made it even faster. Okay, I'll give you a couple examples. Probably my favorite one is a test that we've shown the last couple years at TechEd here in Europe. I wasn't able to show it this year because we just didn't have enough time. 2 years ago, we showed off for the first time running Iometer in a virtual machine, running Windows Server 2012. It was actually the beta bits. We delivered for the first time over 1 million IOPS, 4K IOPS, out of a single VM. Nobody had ever seen that before. And the reason why was really simple. We want to show you that we can run any workload that you need easily in a Hyper-V VM. We then came back a year later, last year, and demonstrated 2012 R2. We went from 1 million IOPS to 1.6 million IOPS. This time, we went to 8K IOPS, by the way, because that's what SQL and Exchange like, to 1.6. Still the fastest hypervisor on Earth by far. This last year, again, I didn't have time because we didn't have time to do it in the keynote. I did it in my session. We demonstrated for the first time in Windows Server vNext, the first time any hypervisor has hit over 2.1 million IOPS out of a single VM. Why is this important? For lots of reasons. Number one, I can virtualize any workload you're talking about. Anything you got, we're ready. As long as your storage is fast enough to keep up with Hyper-V, we're ready to rock and roll. Another reason this is important, Azure. Have you seen the size of the VMs Azure is offering these days? They're offering some ginormous VMs so you can do massive rendering. You want to do genome research. You want to do cancer research, where they need lots and lots and lots of cores with lots of memory, huge amounts of data, huge amounts of storage. Hyper-V, we continue to keep the foot down on the gas pedal when it comes to performance and scale. Frictionless fabric upgrades without downtime, deploy and manage Linux. By the way, you heard it mentioned here, Satya also mentioned it in the keynote this morning, over 20% of our workloads in Azure now are Linux. And we continue to do a tremendous amount of work in Linux. In fact, one of the things that I didn't get a chance to mention is that we've made some huge kernel improvements to network performance now in Linux. So you now have Linux performance in guests on par with Windows. You need to get 10 gig performance in a Linux VM, we got it. Because we did a whole bunch of work, made a whole bunch of contributions to the Linux kernel, made some changes to our driver in the Linux kernel, made it even faster. Large-scale virtual machines, dynamic memory with hot add, comprehensive host and guest clustering, clusterware updating, mixed mode cluster support to make it easier than ever to upgrade your fabric without impacting any of your workloads at all. These are just a few of the things that we're doing in vNext. Finally, management. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about management and some of the work that we've been doing there. Evolving from management to service delivery. When we think about management, it's always been break fix. It's always been reactive. Look, we understand that everybody in this room has an impossible job, okay? Being an IT pro and trying to just manage all of the complexity out there is a challenge. What we want to do is we want to make it less about break fix, make it more proactive, give you more knowledge so that you can be ahead of any problems before they occur in the first place. Open and flexible multi-service platform, absolutely, it's going to work on anything with whatever devices you need it to. Automated self-service deployment. Instead of emailing or going through a trouble ticket, why don't I just go to a web GUI, why don't I go to my internal cloud and say, you know what, I need a SQL server. Okay, instead of this taking days, weeks, who knows, I'll just go right up to the internal portal and check one out that you, as the IT pro, already created. It's already customized. It's all ready to go. So, the Azure Pack, one of the hottest things we've released in the last year, free software. Okay, this is literally code from Azure that we've given to you so that you can run your own on-premises cloud. Again, you own the hardware, you own the software, you manage it all. Okay, but it looks and acts like Azure. Things like automation, billing, tenant management, creating the plans, what apps, how much resources, what are the quotas, okay? Your customers, your internal customers, they can get PaaS virtual PaaS websites, IaaS virtual machines, IaaS networking, PaaS database. And all of this is built on Windows Server and System Center. It's built on what you know and physical hardware. And the Azure Pack layers on top of that. So, let me switch Oh, before I do that, pardon me. I also want to mention Azure Operational Insights. Here is another example where we're taking our learnings from the public cloud and giving them to you. So imagine this world where, look, we've got our public cloud running. We have literally millions of workloads, millions of things happening up there. But what if we could aggregate all of this data, look for trends, look for analysis, go through literally big machine learning up there, and give that data back to you so that you can run your on-premises cloud more efficient, faster, more resilient, so you know how to make and optimize your cloud infrastructure. This is about fast search and analysis. We give you pre-packaged intelligent packs. There's a gallery, and I'm gonna, let's just jump right in, and let me just show you what this looks like. Here you can see, I actually have Azure Operational Insights. And what you're looking at is, you're looking at the dashboard that we're giving you. Again, this is my on-premises infrastructure. Okay, this is helping me. While the data has actually gone up to Azure, and we're taking that intelligence, packaging them up, and giving it back to you in this dashboard. So there's a whole bunch of things you can see here right off the bat. First of all, you can see I've got a number of things I can look at. Configuration assessment, malware assessment, capacity planning, and more. Let me start with one of my favorites, change tracking. Probably one of the biggest challenges, as you know, is trying to figure out and how you manage change internally. That's actually one of the biggest problems that leads to issues within an infrastructure. How many changes happened last night? Well, let's take a look. You want to look at changes by configuration top. Windows services, my software. Here are my software changes. Here's my number of apps. What about my Windows services changes? It's actually giving me an easy dashboard, so all of a sudden now, I can take a look and see what's happened. Because you know what? Oh, somebody forgot to tell me they were updating this, or they were changing this out, or they were repairing this, and I came in the next morning and things were broken. Well, you know what? Now I can actually see very quickly and easily what has changed. I can also have a common change tracking queries here, so I can find out what are the most popular things that I'm looking for, keep those here so it's readily and handily available. Let's go back up here. Another thing, threat management. Threat management, you have to think of as comprehensive. It's not just, hey, do I have AV signatures? Yes, you can see here that I've got a number of servers here with inadequate protection, so I've got some work to do here. But instead of me trolling through log files or looking through a variety of different places, guess what? This is actually giving me this data front and center. Let's come on down here further, and you can see, wow, in terms of system updates, I've got a number of servers that are missing some critical updates. I've got 12 servers doing it, so I've got some work to do as well. But again, from a single location, I'm getting this very easy data that's very easy to consume. Well, what about from a devices standpoint? You can see here from a security perspective, I'm looking at accounts, I'm looking at devices, as well as devices communicating with one or more malicious IPs. So the good news is, I look to be good over there. But again, very easy way to consume this through this dashboard. Well, another big challenge is capacity planning. How do you know that you have enough storage, that you have compute, that you have enough networking for the next year? How do you know that you're ready to meet all of the company's business requirements? Wouldn't it be great if there was a way that you could know, hey, how much capacity do I have left? Well, with capacity planning, I'm going to click on here. Whoa, and you can see immediately, I only have about 8 days till I reach my maximum number of virtual machines here. So I'm glad I took a look in here because I've got some work to do. What I love about this is it's given me a comprehensive view of, look, here's my cores. I seem to be doing fine on cores. So my direct attached storage seems to be okay. But when I look at my memory, I only have about 28% available memory. So let's actually dig in here further. Now take a look at the data we're presented. Look at all this hot data showing me. It's giving me utilization for core counts, for memory, average number of cores, ratios, number of cores available, highest core utilization, giving me lists of hosts. Oh, look at my memory. I can see, okay, I can see what my problem is here. Yeah, I'm definitely running low here. And in fact, you can see I've got a projection tool. So this projection tool is actually giving me help for those what-if scenarios, those what-if situations, so I can avoid any surprises later on down the road. And in fact, from an efficiency standpoint, we've gone a step further. What are your most efficient hosts? What are your least efficient hosts? Ooh, let's take a look and understand what's going on there. Why is that happening? So you can see what we've done is made this really simple, really easy. This is all, if you've got System Center Ops Man, this actually integrates with Operations Manager. In fact, I was at TechEd, we just did TechEd Europe in Barcelona a few weeks ago, and I was literally standing at the station. I was watching one of my colleagues was actually doing, was talking with a customer about Azure Operational Insights, and this guy came to the booth and said, look, I understand this is in preview. As you can see, this is in preview right now, right up here at the top, and it's available right now so you can try it out. And he said, I'd like to try this out. I have OpsMan. Is there any chance we could do this now? And he said, absolutely. So he logged into the guys, they logged into their data center with Operations Manager, synced it up with Operational Insights in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, he started streaming back data from over 1,000 machines in his infrastructure. The guy couldn't believe it. He was floored. That easy. If you're not using System Center Operations Manager, then you simply drop in an agent on your host. It's that simple. So look at all of the data. And the data goes up to Azure. It's anonymized, none of that, nothing, no customer specific information's up there. But what we're doing is we're taking this data, we're looking for the insights, the things that are important to you so that you can run your infrastructure better. So those are just a few things. What happens, though, when you start to realize, wow, this is great, I'd like some of my own customized things? Well, that's why we created your own customized dashboard. Because we know there could be different people in the organization that are want to look at different things that are most important to them. The thing I like about this is you look at the number of different vectors you're seeing from one dashboard view. It's not, hey, here's the amount of memory and here's the amount of CPU utilization. We're talking disk read latency, we're talking memory utilization, Windows firewall policy, my SQL backups, my computer's missing security updates. I can pick out what's most important to me, create my own customized dashboards, and when I walk in and check in the morning, hey, how's everything doing? Oh, this is great. So Azure Operational Insights, it's in preview right now. I urge you to take a look at this. And again, this is about making your on-premises infrastructure run better. This is a perfect example of hybrid. Perfect example. We're taking the public cloud learnings and giving them to you so you can apply them there. All right, finally, let's get to Windows Azure Pack, because I get a lot of questions about in Windows Azure Pack. And a lot of people still tend to be a little confused about it, because they look at it and go, well, that's Azure. You're running in the public cloud. No, that's not. It looks just like Azure. That's actually an on-premises cloud. That's the Windows Azure Pack, and in fact, what you're looking at is the admin view. Okay, so I'm logged in as the admin where I can create policy, I can create services, I can define quotas. So you can see I've got a bunch of things here. I've got request management, I've got VM clouds, I've got service bus. Let's take a look at plans, okay? So I've got a bunch of plans here, and in fact, I'm gonna click in here, and you can see I've got a number of different plans that are available. I've got a website clouds, virtual machine clouds, SQL servers, MySQL servers, service bus. So let's take a look at my VM clouds. Again, this is all part of this plan. Notice it's talking to my VMM management server. This is in Azure. This is my on-premises private cloud. So it's communicating with Azure Pack, and you can see this is my gold tier cloud. As part of that gold tier, what does that mean? Well, it means, well, I have 100 virtual machines available, but I can say, nope, you only get 10. You only get 100 cores. You only get 20 gigs of memory. This is how much storage you get. So I can provide a strict quota and say, when you get this plan, this is what you're allowed to use. This is what you've been allocated. This is your quota. You can see we can name virtual networks. We have hardware profiles. We have templates. But let's get to one of the more important things down here is the gallery. Because the gallery is where you create the services that your customers can log in. So for example, it's not just a dumb VM, by the way. This isn't just a VM that's been sysprepped that now that your internal customer has to log in and go configure and do all that stuff for. This is a web server. This is Exchange. This is Link. This is Oracle Database 12c. This is SharePoint. This is CentOS. This is SQL Server. In fact, this SQL Server is the main joined. Okay, so wow. That's just a highlight of some of the things we're talking about doing from the IT admin view. Well, now, Let's take a look at it from the consumer view. So now let's assume that I'm the guy that works in the company, okay? And I want to go in here, I want to check out some of those things that are available to me. So again, this is still all running in my private cloud, and you can see I've got a whole bunch of things that are available. I've got websites. And by the way, these aren't IaaS websites, these are PaaS websites. This is platform as a service. I've got virtual machines, so I have IaaS. I've got SQL Server databases, MySQL database, so this is all PaaS, okay? In this case, let's take a look at VMs, and you can see that I've got a couple of VMs that I've deployed, and notice they're deployed as roles. And a role means that, again, it's not just a dumb VM. It's actually been deployed with services pre-configured for me. So what that means is when I go here into new, you see I can do a standalone virtual machine, or I can do the VM role. I'm going to do a VM role from the gallery, and guess what? That list that I just showed you, here's that list. Here are those VM roles that the IT admin created. So now that me, as the user internally, oh yeah, there's a domain controller, there's Exchange, there's Link, there's Oracle 12c, there's, and in fact, there's SQL Server domain joined. Great, I can click on here, move right along, and I'm ready to go. Now in my case, I've already configured a virtual machine. So I'm gonna go ahead and click on this, and you can see here's that VM role. And instantly, I can see, here's the usage. Oh, it's got a core, it's got some memory, it's got some storage. What I would like to do, though, is I realized that when I created this, I only created this with a single VM. What I really want to do is I want to be able to scale this out. I could scale this in a couple ways. I could scale it up, so I could add more memory, I could add more cores, I could make it a scale up. But really what I would do is I want to scale it out, okay? And the reason why is because hey, if a VM goes down, that's okay. The other one continues right along, and I can scale up because I'm doing a scale-out distributed app. And just like that, click save, click yes, and I'm done. So think about what you've seen here. This is about giving you that Azure consistency. I know it looks just like Azure. I know a lot of people get confused. They look at it and go, no, you're showing me Azure. No, this is actually all on-premises. This code is free. This is all built on Windows Server. This is all built on System Center. This plugs into all of that. And as we add more roles and more capabilities to Azure, guess what? We're giving those to you in the Azure pack as well. So that's just a few of the things I wanted to show you very quickly from a management side. And I know that I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to go ahead and finish up here. And the last thing, I just want to leave you with a couple things here. One, I want to reiterate a point that Satya made very clearly, is when we think about the cloud, it is holistic. And when we think about Windows Server, we don't think about it as a standalone server. I haven't thought about Windows Server as a standalone server in a very long time. I was thinking about it as, it's part of a cluster, it's part of a much larger grouping. And now I actually think of it, like Satya was saying, as the edge of the cloud. You saw the cloud witness that I demoed as part of synchronous replication. That's taking a hybrid capability and putting it in the box. And but at the end of the day, it's about making your life easier. Okay? Because like I said before, if you wanted to do that in the past, more hardware, more storage, more management, more cost, your boss wants to know, why am I spending all this money? Well, guess what? No problem. You can do all that if you want, or you can use this Cloud Witness simply as part of Azure. Make that easier. So we want to make that hybrid experience the best possible experience. It's not about running everything all private. It's not about running everything all public. It's not about running everything in a service provider. It's about all of the above. So it's our goal to provide our valued customers the best cloud whenever and wherever it makes business sense. Again, I'm sorry if I flew through a bunch of things today. I could only pick and choose, and I was only able to highlight a few things. We've got sessions on software-defined compute and storage and much, much more. But I know it's going to be a very, very busy time here at the show. Thank you guys very, very much. We really, really listen and taking all of your feedback into heart to making sure that we're delivering the solutions that you want and that we can deliver them as fast as possible and making your cloud dreams come true. Thank you very, very much and enjoy the rest of the show.